Terabytes is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on the show is advice, no financial, tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy. Anything you invest in is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of News Bites. This is the show where we give you all the headlines, all the latest and greatest developments in the Terra Luna ecosystem. I promise you we are going to keep this show more concise. However, if you do like our hot takes, if you do like listening to us ramble and speculate and talk crazy and show our pets off and things like that, feel free to join us in our spaces where we wrap up the news a little bit earlier. That's every Saturday, and it's going to be Saturday mornings anytime between 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. Eastern, depending on when Joseph can get out of bed. So, Joseph, we promised the people we were going to keep it concise. We also have Pete here, but he's not on camera. Let's dive right into it. Obviously, the big news this week.
No. First, let's mention that we are bringing Joseph on and that Joseph has been super enthusiastic about this, at least according to his Twitter posts. I got a screen share up of the Twitter post itself. 2 months ago, I started researching for my first Terra Weekly Roundup only 2 months ago, and we noticed it right away. And today, I am proud and excited to say I will be going full-time Web3 and joining Terabytes Pod. Man, we couldn't be happier to have you here, Joseph. You came in, you saw that there was something people could use, and you did it, and you caught a bunch of attention from people because you did it well. And welcome to the team.
Thank you so much, guys. I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, you guys have given me the keys and the freedom to do this full time, and it's a passion of mine. It's a journey, and I am just so excited to embark on developing the ideas and the ambitious goals that I have with you guys. Just can't thank you guys enough. I can't be more excited, and I think I found the right team to grow with and to learn from. So very excited. All right, for the
enough
future.
Praise, Joseph, get to work. What is the top headline that we need to know about this week?
Okay, so this week, the Redacted 3. I know we've been counting. I've been personally counting for a long time for Redacted 3. But this week, Redacted 3 was confirmed, and it is the 4X reserved for the UST peg. It is a significant amount of money. It is $1 billion of purchased Bitcoin. And I believe that the average price was the average price not at like 34,000. I might be mistaken there, but it is a massive amount of Bitcoin, and this will just be going towards fertilizing the UST peg. And it's really intended to kind of just squash out all the fears of a bank run scenario where everyone is just selling off their UST and there is a mass inflation situation that goes on. So there will never be that kind of death spiral event. I don't want to say never, but it significantly declines the possibilities of a bank run event occurring. I'm super bullish in this decision, and I'm super excited to have this happen because I think it just brings the Terra ecosystem to a new level of establishment. It's a pretty big move.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And as we've seen, a little bit of price action today in the last couple of days has given us a shot of confidence to kind of display that it was the right move. And, you know, what Joseph's talking about is that reflexivity that we've seen that, you know, some people have feared in the past where, you know, if the price of Luna drops sharply, people could speculate that maybe UST would depeg should the market cap of Luna go under the market cap of UST, because some people perceive Luna as the backing for UST. We know that that's really not true. Luna is more of a mechanism to absorb the volatility, and the people that are holding Luna can be rewarded for it, or you could be punished for it, as we've been on this roller coaster for the past over a year now. So there is sort of that death spiral that Joseph spoke about, where you could see Luna drops, people flip it into UST, and then they get out of UST, which causes the price of UST to drop, and you have sort of a death spiral there. With this BTC backing now, we're able to see that there's a more robust system. There's actually an alternative to off-ramping from UST into Luna, and we're still waiting on more details, so we'll hope to have that for you. And I promise we weren't going to ramble, so Pete, what's your commentary?
All right, so I'm going to share some screens here. I realized I'm actually logged into Deviant's Twitter because I'm like waiting for the alpha to go live so I can tweet it. So like that's not going to change. I can't log out because my draft is in another window. But we've got Redacted 3 here, a 1 billion private token sale. Yeah, we know that. We know that. We just mentioned that. But Doze hopped on board full on this thing with comments like fading UST is fractionally fading Bitcoin. And interestingly, Nick Carter, let me see if I can find this because I didn't. I just thought of this now. Yeah, without commenting on the sustainability of UST, a Bitcoin reserve backing a stablecoin is an elegant way to harmonize the revealed preference of crypto users to transact with stables with the monetary soundness of BTC. Now, what's that? Well, it means that some people, crypto people love to transact with stablecoins, but US dollars aren't necessarily monetarily sound. In fact, we have seen a lot of inflation recently because of recent economic activity. The dollar, like all fiat currencies, is just going to head downhill over time. So we've got the monetary soundness of BTC. This is an elegant way, he says. And you might know Nick Carter. He's a big Bitcoin speaker and content producer and writes, not just content producer, writes research in the space and highly regarded in a lot of places by a lot of people. But he says it's an elegant way to harmonize these two things. And we've definitely felt that here. I'm sure everyone listening has felt that. Like you get excited about UST and you want to be paid in UST or use UST because it's relatively stable, right? A dollar's a dollar. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you realize that the dollar is a melting ice cube too. So how do you harmonize those two things? And in fact, Nick says he argued or mused about this exact scenario in 2020, which begs the question, maybe this was some kind of inspiration. He said, while cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are meaningfully differentiated in terms of settlement quality, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, serving as collateral backstopping the issuance of crypto dollars would be significantly. All right, I'm not even going to read that. Listeners are not going to follow along there, but you can see the screen here. The issuance of crypto dollars would be significantly accretive in terms of driving demand for the assets and the narratives surrounding them. So whether Nick was inspiration or not, I don't know, but he has positively spoken about this. And if you want to hear more and you want to talk more about this, you can join us Spaces on March 1st. That's tomorrow, 8 p.m. EST. That's 1 a.m. UTC, March 2nd, with Stablequan, Doquan, and Knav from Jump Trading, from Jump Crypto. We'll be doing a deep dive into this whole thing. And I'm sure that the Bitcoin buy is going to be a large part of that discussion.
Yeah, and I wanted to if you heard our Spaces over the weekend, just quick bit of like wild speculation, curious to hear your opinion, Pete, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it yet. We know that TFL has a rather large reserve of Luna that's still like out of circulation. Could you see potentially like a crazy Redacted 4 where potentially they burn some of that Luna that's backing UST and replace it with BTC? Is that technically even possible? And is that something that you think could be like, you know, more major news coming out of Luna Foundation Guild?
I'm not sure that that's a play. Because as it is right now, Luna doesn't back UTUST. I mean, I know it does, but it doesn't back it in the same way. I don't think that that's where they're heading. They might be, but I really don't think that. I think this is just going to have like a reserve play, a confidence boosting effect on the ecosystem, where it's like, you know, that if you start to have ecosystem concerns, you can swap out into BTC, right? So it brings the confidence people have in BTC to the Luna UST ecosystem.
Excellent. All right. Let's move right along then. Joseph, what do we got next?
Okay. So the debit card wars. We all know that the debit card wars have been heating up. I'm hearing whispers from the aristocrats of the Terra community that Alice is bumping up and Alice is kind of picking up their steam in this game. But the Outlet Finance team has kind of been the first one to come out and say officially that they will be launching their debit card the first week of March. And if I'm not mistaken, that's this week. So we should be hearing something this week about the Outlet Finance debit card that is powered by UST. And it will be kind of the first ever form of a physical debit card. And they've been kind of releasing videos of their intern just walking around the city, just purchasing stuff at the corner store and then purchasing stuff for their loyal fan base. So it's really exciting to kind of be seeing the first applicable narratives of UST-backed debit cards. And personally, I like the purple one. I don't know what you guys prefer, but I really enjoy that purple debit card. So I'm definitely going to be buying all those purple ones just to raise the floor price. What are you guys excited about in terms of debit cards? What are you guys going to buy?
Pete?
I mean, you guys, whenever I share screen, you can feel free to put it up. I put it up as like background for whoever's talking. So feel free to toss it up. So I was going to show the purple card that that Joseph is showing. They like this multicolor interface here. You can go to outlet.finance to check it out. And I guess the cards aren't right here, huh?
Yeah, on their website it's not, but it should be on their Twitter. They have tweeted it.
Okay. All right, that sounds good.
So yeah. I do know that this is the debit card wars are heating up. So Outlet obviously leading the charge with debit card wars. I do want to leak a little bit of Alice Alpha because I am in the beta testing group. There we go. Yeah, so there's the Outlet card actually being used at the subway station in New York City. I would imagine that's a UST transaction being used with the NFC. Like the tap to pay sort of functionality that you see with like modern credit cards and debit cards. You've got the green option, which I like the green option.
You're green.
Wow. Yeah, a bunch of different colors there. On the Alice front, I know that I recently just learned that if you have a mobile number in like pretty much any major country outside of like, you know, Russia and China at this point, you will be able to download and use the Alice app. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can bank with it if you have a bank outside the U.S., but the app will be available. And they just opened up the beta group to 1,000 additional users as we ramp up testing with Alice as well. So there's some Alice details for everybody that's wondering where Alice went. But beyond that, unless you guys don't have any more comments on that, let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah. Okay, so lunatics are going to Hollywood. To be honest, with how many lunatics get their pitchforks messed up when people are raising fees inside of a protocol, I'm actually kind of concerned that we're all going to Hollywood. But regardless, the Luna Film Guild and the 37th Degree Studios, which are a famous documentary makers and creators, and they have teamed up with the Terraform Labs, and they have officially announced kind of a DAO structure. That it's going to be a very interesting mechanism for how the community can start interacting with the Luna Terra documentary. And 37th Degree Studios is asking for the community to play a pivotal role in kind of this documentary. And the reason that they rolled out the DAO structure was so that they could kind of engage the community and use us to kind of guide where we want to take this documentary. Because let's face it, Terraform Labs, yes, they did create the ecosystem, but we are the ones who are perpetuating it. We're the ones who give it the marketing. We give it the structure. We're a big component of it. And that was their goal and their angle for creating the Luna Film Guild and the following LFG DAO that will be taking part in all of the shaping of this. So if you're an NFT holder, you have the potential, depending on what tier you're in, you could be part of the Doquan interview that will take place inside of the documentary. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. I'm super excited to kind of see how this fleshes out, what kind of community initiatives kind of get led inside of the documentary. It's going to be great to kind of just watch how community members can contribute to something so massive. And especially if we get to rewatch this years down the road when we're all holding on to our $400,000 worth one Luna token. So that'll be huge and super, super great to look back on. Have you guys had any thoughts on where this documentary could go? What things you guys want to include? I definitely do think there should be a segment talking about terabytes and how you guys were kind of the leading edge of content in Terra.
Yeah, well, there's a current documentary on the Terra.money site now done by a different group. And they interviewed us in the second round. So we're waiting patiently to see if that will come out. Pete and I did a pretty cool interview with a couple other people from Hashed were in it as well. So we'll see how that one goes. Super excited to see how the Luna Film Guild pans out. And I think it's really cool to see, like, you know, the next level of how NFTs can give you sort of like value in deciding how things are built. And, you know, it's not just another JPEG. And I'm curious to see, and I wish I would have joined the call a little bit sooner when they did their spaces, if if you own, or if you're part of this DAO, does it give you not only a producer credit, but can you actually, like, say they sell this documentary to like a Netflix or like an Apple, is there a way to actually make money off of that? Because, you know, producers in Hollywood, they produce films to make money at the end of the day. And so I'd be curious to see if there's a way that you can actually benefit from this. And, you know, we'll see how many film producers are in the community out there. I also wanted to comment real quick. This is a little bit of an aside, but during the spaces where the Luna Film Guild was chatting, Doe was on, and he had mentioned that, and I didn't get the context on this, but as soon as I joined the call, the first thing Doe said, and I have a tweet from Donku, Doe said, "We've built some of the big protocols on Ethereum anonymously during DeFi summer 2020 that got us the basis to keep on with Terra." So really interesting to kind of speculate on that. And actually, Poppy had a crazy theory. If you're familiar with Poppy from Terra Crumbs, he thought that maybe TFL built Band Protocol and then went and built Lido and launched Anchor on top of it. He thinks TFL is behind Lido, you know, the company that's basically creating the liquid staking derivatives for Ethereum. And Doe shot it down and said no. But good work, Poppy. We love the speculation. And interesting to see that kind of stuff. So, Pete, any commentary on this?
No, I think this is fantastic. I can't wait. I mean, obviously, we're content creators, writers, right? We're media creators, and we love media coming out around Luna. It's been our dream to build some like documentary style content. And so, and not like this, these guys are stepping on our toes, not at all. It's just something that we really enjoy. And we've thought about doing it for more protocols. So can't wait to see where all this stuff goes. And everyone I know that's involved is just fantastic and motivated. So let's move on to the next. Wait, before we do, we're live. I know I don't want to show this too much, but it just dropped. The alpha is finally live.
Steph, whenever he brings up a screen share, you can always share it right away. You don't need to.
Oh wow! All right, I'll be very careful. Yeah. All right, so I got a new deviant's name. I'm Shatterer, and I'm going to hit play and see what happens here. Prepare for match. All right. This is at deviantsfactions.com, and you have to have a pack for it to work. Budapest 2019. So I got these pre-constructed decks. I don't have to deal with making a deck like right now. I can have these pre-constructed decks. I know that making a deck is the fun part, but like, how do you make a deck if you've never played before, right? So I get to see all these things that the cards do. I've got Piel de Lobo. He's got toughness, and Arrival gets -9 times whatever attack. So I think if I have three cards with this symbol on it, like three awakens, then Arrival gets -9 times the number I have. So pretty cool.
Is that like the guy from Money Heist? Is that who he's based on?
I have no idea. We've got the Shinjuku gang. This is not a faction. It's like a human that's being co-opted by the deviants, like kind of tricked into playing for them. And then some tech down here. I'm just going to play and see how this plays out.
So this just went live now.
Yeah. Like right now. All right. By connecting your world. So I'm taking a risk here. This is an alpha. It might like fail. And but, you know, we'll see here. Oh, man. I don't. You guys can't hear that sound. But
we can hear it.
Oh, you can hear it. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Too loud. Try to turn it down. So I've got a player hand. I can redraw or I can keep. I've got a timer here. So I got to decide. Leon. Yeah, these are some pretty complex things going on here. We got two different factions, two awakens. I'm going to redraw just to see. Okay, cool. I guess we're keeping. I know there's a timer here, so I'm not really familiar with the cards. Let's play Leon. The rival and adjacent foes get -45, so I want to put him in the middle, not in the
that's
first
super
row.
Smooth.
All right, turn two. Okay, now I'm going to take Leon because I noticed that he affects not only the arrival but also adjacent foes, and I'll play him there. And then I get to redraw. Let's see here. I don't know this deck obviously at all, but foes with ranged attack. I've got like music rushing me. Let's do this.
Yeah, dude, I'm getting
get wrecked. Everybody, watch Pete get wrecked live.
Okay, so now we're starting to see. You see how there's this locks with little numbers? That's the time left until they like attack. You know, so I have no awakens. I'm not going to play that guy. That's the time until the attack starts. So now this guy's going to attack in the first step.
Oh, so if it has arrows, that means it's actively attacking.
Yeah, it's going to attack. And you can see this guy attacks not just straight ahead. This one right here. I don't know if you can see my mouse, but attacks diagonal too.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna equip a tech on this person. Oh, okay. I can only equip it over there. All right.
I think it's super clean. Just the interface. Yeah. Everything is so nice.
So now... The whole goal is once you have no defenses, the attacks hit your headquarters over here on the left, and when your headquarters are done, the game is you lose, right? I can also choose not to play anything but hit an end turn, which probably isn't the smartest move because this guy's gonna hit me directly and deal a huge amount of damage. You see, so anyway, not gonna play it through a whole game, but that is really cool and it worked. You can see I'm not playing another player right now. I'm playing an AI just for like the alpha. But anyway, wow, that was pretty smooth, guys.
That's all right. Super smooth. And yeah. So that's an alpha. That's not like people's packs that they purchased previously.
Right. So like, I mean, being on a member of a team, I could just say real quick, the game still needs to finish balancing. Like, we don't want to nerf cards after they're issued. Like, that would suck. You'd get a card, you'd be like, this is awesome. And then suddenly its attack gets halved, right? Maybe you bought a card because it was awesome and then its attack gets halved. So we got balance going on and just needed more data. So more real player data, and machines are like crunching, running through millions of simulations and stuff to do that final tweaking. And then we'll let people open their packs. The 12 pre-constructed are for now. And then phase two of the alpha, you'll be able to build decks with any cards. You don't even have to have them, just so you can get a feel for like what the cards do before it really launches, you know, with incentives and tournaments and everything.
Awesome. So when can we expect the phase two that you're talking about?
I don't know. I'm maybe somebody knows.
You're trying to pry more alpha out of him.
Yeah, maybe somebody knows. I don't know. I've mostly been doing smart contract stuff. So
excellent. Well, that looks awesome, man. I'm very excited to see that. And where can the people head over to go play that? Now I feel like I'm interviewing you, Pete. Now it's like you're a guest.
Yeah, you can go to deviantsfactions.com. Cool. I think if you misspell that, it'll still go to the right place. And you could just hit connect wallet and play right there and get in. You can play as long as you have a pack. If you don't have a pack, you can just get a pack, and then you'll be able to play the alpha.
Nice.
All right. So anyway, sorry to distract there, but I think everyone enjoyed seeing that game. Probably the first game of that quality on the Terra blockchain to actually have something out, huh? You know, I mean, there's a lot of games coming out, but this one's definitely early launch compared to others. Let's move on to the next news item.
Okay, so TFL is going to Canada. I don't know if you guys have been to Canada, but it seems like that Terraform Labs is sponsoring the largest Web3 hackathon that is to ever have been held in Canada in all of history, which is pretty shocking to me. I thought that there was more of a hackathon arena or just at least a forum for it. But the DeFi The Conventional 2022 will be hosted in March. I believe it spans from the time period of March 18th to March 20th. It's a two-day event. But it will be the largest Web3 hackathon in Canada, and Terraform Labs is sponsoring that. I think this is a great opportunity for the Terra ecosystem to kind of branch into an untapped talent pool, because I do feel like that in any country that doesn't have like the Web3 hackathon events that are occurring, I think it's just a treasure trove for people that are wanting to get involved in blockchain technology. So I do hope that they continue this trend and in going into countries that do not have active Web3 development. And I hope to see that Terraform Labs finds this as a beneficial endeavor. Have you guys had any experience attending some hackathon events?
Oh, yeah.
Pete. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You had any good hackathon stories, Pete?
Oh, man. Where do we want to start? People probably have seen, right? People probably have seen you talking about this, Evan. You pitching Mike Novogratz, like you were swinging. I remember you swinging a fake axe because it was like we had a project where you had a special items, like you get special items. And so you came up with the axe of, what was it? The axe of faith or something like that, right? and you made a pun on hackathon. And it kind of fell flat, and that's probably why we didn't make it to the final.
That's why we didn't make it. Yep.
But Mike actually said he rated us really well, and it was the rest of the panel that said no. But you know, it was a great experience, and that experience building was kind of one of the starts to me and Evan doing things. Wow. Like if that hackathon hadn't happened, I don't know if Terabytes would be me and Evan now. You know what I mean? It was also the start to my smart contract coding journey. I was a coder before, but never did smart contracts until I learned to do them there. So fantastic time. Like, if you think your skills are not too great, or you think that maybe no one needs your skills, it doesn't matter. Still go. You know, still go to a hackathon.
You could go to a hackathon and do nothing and still have a good time. So don't do that. I mean, but you can. So don't feel like you need to be like an expert. You can go and just like pitch in ideas and make coffee for the big brains. And it's still a good time, and it's great networking. And for anybody watching, if you're just trying to like dip your toes into eventually, like, you know, you're jealous that Joseph has a full-time gig now and he's like, you know, killing it over here and gets to leave his wage cage. And that's a good place to start and build your network and find, like, you know, a team to work with or a project to work on. So let's move along. We've got some margin trading destinations. Joseph, tell me about these.
Okay, so if you guys are trying to pretend like you're smarter than the rest of the market, this is your chance. There are great opportunities now for just Terrans and lunatics to kind of go test their mettle with the markets to see if you want to long, short, or anything that is margin trading. There's two new destinations. One is specifically on the Solana chain. It's going to be called O1 Exchange. You can now deposit your native UST into this exchange, and you can fund your margin account, and you can start trading whenever you want. And it's really cool to start seeing Wormhole kind of activating these opportunities for all lunatics. And it kind of just keeps going with the narrative of seamless integration with all other blockchains. And this is one that I'm super excited about that I haven't gotten a chance to play with, is Vertex Protocol. Vertex Protocol, from the comfort of the Terra ecosystem, you can now, or at least use the testnet, you can start using it to start longing, to start shorting and everything. But right now it's only going through testnet, so you would be using some faucet funds, I believe. If you guys want to go a little bit more detail on the technical side, go for it.
Yeah, Vertex Protocol just launched their dashboard today. It is testnet, so it's all funny money, which, you know what, it's all funny money anyway. Head over to vertexprotocol.io/dashboard. I haven't had enough time to like play around with it, but I'm pretty sure step one is like deposit your UST, and then you can start playing around with some of the 4x levered options over there. One thing I do want to mention, and I put my finance hat on here. This is what I imagine like a kind of hat like Sefi wears when he's talking about finance. But as far as leverage goes, like, I don't really mess with leverage too much, but I think this is kind of a topical bit of non-financial advice. If you are going to take profit, not that anybody would ever take profit, but if you are, you know, it's something that I have done in the past, I will admit to taking profit, is if you're going to sell spot Luna and you have a leverage option. So, you know, I told Joseph this, if you're going to sell 100 Luna at spot and you're like, shit, I don't want to sell at, let's just say the price is 85. And then tomorrow I wake up and the price is, you know, 160, because this market's insane. It could, you know, pump like crazy. If you're going to sell spot at 100, if you're going to sell 100 Luna at spot, consider opening a long at 5x for 20 Luna. And that's like what I call like the FOMO buster. So now you took profit, but you still have exposure to that long price movement. So it's a good little trick to kind of like keep that price exposure. It is risky, obviously, always, you know, take it easy with your leverage. This is not financial advice. I don't know what I'm talking about. But consider that if you know, it's a nice little trick to kind of beat the FOMO if you're worried about taking profit. So Pete, any notes on this?
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't really, I appreciate what you said. I've never done that. But like, yeah, you're right. That's a great tactic. And it's something I've been meaning to play around with. Just never gotten time to do. Maybe now I'll finally take the plunge. If you guys incentivize me taking the plunge somehow, I'll do it.
I think if you long it correctly, that's your incentive.
Yeah.
So will you cover my downside if I lose all my money?
No financial advice or responsibility. So
all right, well, let's move on. Next thing we got Nebula. So we haven't heard much many updates on Nebula, but The team from Nebula reached out to me, and someone from Nebula reached out to me, who's the project lead, and they're interested in doing some content with us. We've been doing Byte Papers. The first two was on Prism Protocol, and then we did Mars Protocol. I think the next one we're going to do is for Nebula's white paper. They just released the details for their cutting edge clusters concept. What do we know about clusters, Joseph?
The best way that I can describe clusters is ETFs. There are these mechanisms where you can create an ETF fund almost, where you can have a pool of money or a pool of strategies that is just continuously working. And the best applicable terms that I can do it for DeFi is like an Arbing ETF. So let's say you wanted to compound the Arbing effects of Arbing UST, of Arbing Luna, of Arbing B Luna to Luna, and all the Luna Xs, all the different kinds. If you wanted to combine all of those Arbing opportunities, you could create a cluster and you can kind of magnify the results of it. You can play around with how you want it to interact with the market depending on conditions. And you can do some really unique concepts and unique areas with that. I think it's a super interesting concept. I'm definitely needing to kind of just sit down and really kind of digest this white paper, because it is a pretty unknown concept for me, especially inside of the DeFi world. I think that it's a new opportunity for lunatics if they want to go experiment and kind of explore the next generation of financial instruments.
Yeah, we've been thinking about Nebula for a long time. When do you think the first mention of Nebula was, Evan? It was like
before,
8 months ago.
Before Anchor.
Yeah. Actually, fun fact, I did see a tweet. There was a tweet a long time ago from Doquan in a very in a small thread where someone asked him like, what's an upcoming project? He posted a picture of like Nebula's protocol's like logo, but it was like very different than the one now, but you can tell it's the same logo. So they knew that this was going to come. They knew that this was going to happen. And Doquan was in the warehouse, but he said that it would launch in like June or July, but then it never happened. So people have repeatedly come back to this thread and be like, when protocol, sir? And no response.
Yes. That's exactly it. And we know that somebody who was really in with the Nebula team ended up leaving TFL and presumably leaving the Nebula project. So it's been chugging along silently. Now it's really great to see some stuff coming out. TFL has more and associated projects and Delphi projects, like what we can call, I guess, the core projects that have a lot of Terraform Labs people's attention, really has started to has started to keep things under wraps for longer, like until closer to deployment. I think that's what we've seen over the recent protocols. Like maybe it was because there have been some protocols where there were delays and, you know, hype. People were like, when? And they just got tired of that. So now things kind of go under wraps. You've got to really pay attention if you're newer and haven't heard of these projects to like see them and notice them months ahead of time. But it's exciting to have Nebula coming out soon. And I think we have a Nebula interview coming up?
We have Nebula coming up for an interview, and then we're also going to make Nebula the next Byte paper that we do. So if you're interested in hearing about how it works and you don't like to read, you can hear the smooth sounds of Pantera's voice read you the white paper with a cackling fireplace in the background. All right, let's move along. We got some Mars news. Mars, obviously, the lock drop finished up. A huge amount of money raised. I looked at the number and was like, told myself to remember it so that I could say it, and I can't remember it, but it was a lot. I would say it was a very successful lock drop. Now the gears are starting to turn, right? The Martian Council is in effect. They're deciding on a couple proposals. Joseph, what do we know about these proposals?
Okay, so this is going to be essentially the first round of Martian Council really being engaged and kind of, it's like a battle call, really. And they have to decide on what protocols get to use the smart contract features. And what the smart contract features is opening up the door for is kind of just having protocol level leveraging and protocol level borrowing mechanisms. And it's going to open up a world of opportunities. And currently the two that are up for vote are going to be Spectrum and Alpha Finance. So once the Mars protocol actually kind of fleshes out and goes through all of its launch sequence, anyone who is staking Mars and is part of the Martian Council, they will be able to participate in this decision making. And I think it's a great way to open up the door for that forum. And Spectrum has made their case for why they feel that they can use the contract-to-contract features better, and also why Alpha Finance believes that they can do it effectively as well. So it's very interesting to kind of see these teams come to Mars, pitch their ideas, pitch their concepts, and kind of give everyone a little bit of insight into their overall direction. I think that this is a great way for people to kind of be engaged with the management of this. And I do genuinely believe that Mars is going to be known for this feature itself. Not financial advice, but I do think that this is going to transform the majority of decentralized finance, especially cross-chain.
I think Alpha Finance is actually a strong candidate for one of those protocols that mm-hmm. was that they mentioned that they were involved in DeFi Summer. With the Alpha Homora stuff. Now, Alpha Homora did have an exploit with Cream, the Iron Bank in Cream, where basically Cream ended up owing Alpha, or was it the other way around? It's been a little while, $35 million, and just they had to figure out a way to repay that back because it was exploited. But still, they plugged ahead. Alpha Homora letting you do leveraged yield farming, kind of the things we see in Fields of Mars. And Cream doing things like the Iron Bank, which was uncollateralized protocol-to-protocol loans. So both of those ideas, Alpha and Cream, which work very well together, are things that we've heard Mars talk about over and over again. No speculation there.
Quick note, Field of Mars, whenever that goes live, that will be open to any Joe Schmo. You don't have to necessarily be a protocol or go through mm-hmm. the Martian Council, correct, Pete? You can just go in and start using some of their leverage tools.
Yeah. It's leveraged yield farming. Exactly. So you basically, you borrow in order to farm more, if you farm at, if you're farming a certain LP like Mars and UST, and you're getting a certain amount of money, well, if you had more in that farm, you would get more money. So you can borrow more in order to farm more. And then hopefully, your farming gains offset the debt you have, right? Are greater than the debt you have. And so you can easily pay that back and make a profit. That's the whole, and that was originated with, at least to my knowledge, originated with Alpha Homora over in Alpha Finance, and now it's Fields of Mars. And just bear in mind, yes, everyone can do it, but just bear in mind that there is leverage involved. So you have liquidation levels, and you could get liquidated if you don't pay attention or you borrow too much.
All right, let's move right along. This is the last pre-planned headline. Prism, our friends over at Prism, they've got everybody amped up. What are we all amped up about, Joseph?
So this is kind of a new mechanism that I haven't been familiar with before, but the AM vaults are essentially where you can commit or preemptively commit your X Prism for an X amount of time. So depending on how much Prism that you've committed and the duration of your Prism lock, then you will start yielding AMP. And what is AMP? The concept of amping is just kind of used to enhance what your APR percentage would be with your Y Luna. So if you're trying to stack your Luna and trying to have a lot of yield with all of your Luna that you've refracted to the yield portion of it, you can start locking up your rewarded Prism tokens, locking them up for a certain duration, yielding more AMP, and then you can start compounding those effects onto your Y Luna yield. So you can start benefiting. I have a guest star that decided to show up. But yes, this is the way for you to start amplifying your yield and your rewards from your refracted Luna. Super excited to see this mechanism work out and just kind of be fleshed out. I kind of want to see how much people can really start amplifying their Luna yield, because that's at a certain point when you have a big enough stack of Luna, all you want to do is just yield from it, you know? So really exciting for that. You can see Jimmy in the chat. Super excited for that one. I know he's a pivotal person on the team. So really excited to kind of see this being worked out.
Yeah, and it just adds more fire to the Y Luna versus P Luna battle. I guess mm-hmm. the Y Lunas will win this battle, but they haven't won the war. I'm still holding strong to my P Luna, my loyalty there for P Luna. But Or Joseph?
A little bit on your P Luna. You're not the only one. I kind of ran into a guy who's called Prism Watcher on Twitter, and he actually made a very detailed 11 tweet thread where he kind of focused on why he believes that the market is extremely undervaluing P Luna. So I think you would be a big fan of that thread. I think you should check that one out.
Well, and we got a couple people in the chats here. Jimmy says, I'm behind P Luna DAO. I am not behind P Luna DAO, although that's awesome. I didn't even know that existed, but I will join. And we got Dark Horse that says P Luna forever, which I agree. P. Luna forever. all right. Well, that's going to wrap up all the major headlines. Random shout outs. We're going to move on to random shout outs. I have a random shout out, and I will admit I am an owner of this, so I'm pumping my bag a little bit. But and I heard about this in a Seffy Spaces. So two shout outs this episode for Seffy and his spaces. Apparently he's running one right now that has over 2,000 people in it, which is insane.
What?
Meow.
Yeah, it's called trader. Something like, why does Luna keep going up? How did I miss this?
Yeah, exactly.
it's running right now. We're going to hop over in there. Yeah, we're going to hop over in there as soon as we're done.
We're going to raid. We're going to raid the Seffy channel. That's like the time I made a Twitter Spaces and said, we're forking Luna, and Do Kwon joined because he thought I was serious about it. but I want to give a shout out to Meow Trader. And I will admit, I am doing a little bag shilling here. But just interesting concepts going on over there. They have like a quadratic LP where you can LP B Luna and Luna, which we're all familiar with, and then LP Luna and UST, but then they auto rebalance in their own LP. So it's like LPception. I haven't seen that concept elsewhere, and we've asked around for a couple of people to help clarify that. So I might do a deep dive into what that is. And if you follow Seffy and some of those guys, I'm sure they can help explain as well. But just interesting protocol, really low market cap, $341,000 market cap. They burnt 70% of their supply, is already burnt. So I don't know, look into Meow. And it was something that I kind of just like wrote off and was like, Meow, what is this, like a Dogecoin equivalent on Terra? But they have limit orders. Is that they're the only one that has like DEX limit orders out there. So you can, input a price that you want to buy Luna at, set it and forget it, and if it fills, then you'll get it at the price you want, and if not, then it just sits on the order book. So clearly they know what they're doing, and I think they've flown pretty much under the radar for a long time. So interesting project, and that's my random shout out. Gentlemen, random shout outs.
Sure, random shout out I'm going to share, and the first shout out is Kinetic. I just found this, and we didn't talk about it. I don't remember if we talked about it previously. We got a Twitter summary just dropped of a blog post to like a Twitter summary about the Kinetic roadmap. So we'll just push through this really quick. A multi-phase launched. Dates aren't announced yet. A lock drop and an LBP liquidity bootstrapping pool similar to Astroport and White Whale event followed by a previously announced airdrop and then launch features and so on. We've got a lock drop. 50% using to seed a KUST UST stable swap pool, and 50% used to seed the phaser. And you get rewards even though tokens are locked somehow without the risk of impermanent loss. Then a bootstrapping pool for the Kinetic UST pair. And that's all going to go into the treasury like White Whale did. So it's not going to be a KYC sale, I assume. It'll just be, you get into liquidity bootstrapping and it's protocol owned, or at least treasury owned liquidity. And then what they're calling the discharge, this is the airdrop. After the LBP phase has concluded, it'll be claimable in the web app, and the communities of eligible are Terra Money, Anchor, and Alchemix. So I'm going to open this in another tab so I can come back to it and see who exactly is eligible for this airdrop here. Their features on launch are UST, AUST deposits with a 50% borrow cap, and some other things going on here, governance and so on. And then V2 features, they want to have CDP streaming and just a bunch of other stuff, other yield strategies, depositing yield-bearing assets so you can accelerate your repayment of loan. I guess I should have mentioned that Kinetic is a self-repaying loan protocol. If you've probably been lost if you didn't know that. Sorry about that. An insurance contract as well, which they've talked about a little bit more extensively recently. So they're about to start testing on the web app and start all this token launch stuff. And over in the Medium, I can find out who exactly is eligible for the drop. It is Luna Stakers, Ankh Stakers, looks like governance stakers.
Ooh,
and that's
nice.
29% of the total. So Luna Stakers is 57, I'm sorry, not the total supply, but the total airdrop. 57% of the airdrop to Luna Stakers, and that is 20% of the total supply. And then 10% of the total supply is going to Ankh Stakers. That's 29%. So pretty high airdrop numbers here. There's been some controversy both ways over airdrops recently. Some people very positive on these, some people very negative on these. And so we'll see how this plays out. And then also Alchemix holders. because Alchemix was the pioneer of self-repaying loans. So 5% is dropping to them, maybe to encourage them to come and try the self-repaying loan experience over at Luna. That's the first quick shout out I have. The other one is extremely quick, and that is that FTX has announced now not just UST, but a Luna spot market as well, coming tomorrow, March 1st at 9 a.m. Eastern or 1400 UTC.
Pete, when was the snapshot for Kinetic? We've got a question in the comments here from Internet Rob. Rob from the Internet, not to be confused with Offline Rob.
Oh, yes. When was the snapshot? I'm going to try to find that out for you really quick. October 31st, 2021 the snapshot.
Okay. Nice. And yes, they have a max per wallet too, as Jimmy's saying in the chat here. Quick question and answer before
there's also a $100 minimum threshold based on the prices at or around October 31st. So if you have like dust, then you won't get minuscule amounts that you like can't claim and have it be worth it.
Gotcha. Quick question from JF Sebastian in the comments. He says, what's the best way to go USD to UST? I am in the USA. Is a centralized exchange like say KuCoin or Binance necessary first step, or is there anything more direct? As of right now, right this moment, you don't have to use a centralized exchange, actually. You could use Kado. Kado has an on-ramping service, and I don't know their URL off the top of my head, but it's a $2 flat fee. I do believe
Kado.money.
Kado.money, so that's Kado.money. There's a KYC process, like, you know, you're going to go through the same thing. Unless you're like going on the street corner with cash somehow, you just can't avoid KYC. Sorry, I'm not a fan. I'm not advocating for it. I think we should repeal the Patriot Act, but that's a whole nother episode. let's just, you know, you got to deal with it. Kraken is another good one. FTX, like Pete just gave a shout out to. I've never used the FTX, but I imagine they have a pretty robust on-ramping platform. Tom Brady tells people to get on it. And, you know, if Tom Brady says to use it, there's got to be an on-ramp somewhere. So check out FTX. Check out Kraken. We have a tutorial on our channel. It's called like the Beginner's Guide to Terra or Terra 101. There's a video walkthrough on how to go from Kraken to directly into native Luna. And then, you know, once you get it in your Terra wallet, you can swap it out for whatever. Joseph,
and you can also do crypto.com, which will let you get into Luna, not into UST. But, you know, once you withdraw the Luna, you can swap it on chain for UST.
Mm-hmm. Joseph, any random shout outs from you this week?
Yes, I do. I have one. I'm going to share my screen right now. Is it sharing? There we go. Okay, so this one's going to be coming from my thread this week where I kind of rounded up everything, but it's specifically focusing on Murray. I feel like this is a very underappreciated account in the ecosystem. He kind of developed this very in-depth price modeling, and I've been keeping an eye on him since he released his first thread regarding this, but Donku has since invited him to his channel. So if you guys want to get a little bit of more in-depth and personal analysis, go definitely check out Donku's video. Regardless, Murray is a PhD in microeconomics, and he has developed a very elaborate, in-depth model, kind of taking in perspective the Luna price, the Luna burn, the Luna supply, and then also UST market demand. And he kind of develops the, oh, my cat just bumped the monitor. But the entire development of the model is really in depth. He does some insane price regressions and kind of factors in for all the things that could impact the price. And a very interesting development. I kind of just went down a deep rabbit hole researching this one. So definitely recommend you guys to check this one out.
Excellent. Go check out that thread. And it does look like we got another comment from the viewers here from Drew Jobson. Says Osmosis Superfluid staking, anyone?
Yeah.
What do you know about Osmosis Superfluid staking?
So Superfluid staking is the idea that you not just stake your Osmosis, which earns you a bunch of rewards. I think it's like 100% right now, but you also can use that staked Osmosis to LP. So you don't have to choose between one or the other. I think it's only enabled right now for the Atom Osmo pair, but there are certainly more pairs coming on that. So it's just something people should be aware of. If they've got Osmo staked and they would like to also provide liquidity with that staked Osmo, they can do that now and basically maximize the efficiency of the yield on that Osmo.
Interesting.
That's over at app.osmosis.zone, which if you haven't checked out before, you probably should.
So you stake in the in like the Kepler dashboard area, and then that Osmo is still available for deposit into Osmosis Zone. Is that how it works?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been there. I haven't done this yet. It literally just launched today, but it is definitely on my to-do list.
Internet Rob, not to be confused with Offline Rob, again says the APYs are bigly over there. So that's awesome to be able to basically get the staking APY and the LPs. And the LPs on Osmosis are great. And if you've never been on Osmosis, we have a tutorial for that as well. So check out our channel, look at Osmosis and how to claim. And if you're a Luna staker, there's actually a couple airdrops available for you over on Osmosis as well, or really in the Cosmos ecosystem. Dark Horse asks, do you think UST debit card wars will have a significant impact on UST growth? What do you think about that, Joseph?
I think it fundamentally will. I think that it will be kind of the premier platform for interacting with the blockchain and interacting with decentralized money. Because I do think that fundamentally that's the goal and the primary mission of the ecosystem is to provide that better form of money. How is it a better form of money if you just can't go buy some gas with it? If you can't go to the grocery store and buy your grocery stores, is that truly better money? Yes, of course, we can have access to all of these refined financial tools like Anchor, a collateralization, et cetera. But until the day that you can actually spend these UST dollars in the real world, I do think that it's an inhibiting factor of the growth. And once you kind of unveil this and open up the floodgates, I think that the debit cards we will look back to it as the pivotal moment that the fruition of the goal of a better form of money has really kind of happened.
Yeah, and I know I keep harping on Alice, and I don't mean to discredit the other competitors. It's just the one I'm most familiar with because I've been like sort of QAing Alice for the last month. Mm-hmm. I have like a guerrilla marketing idea with Alice where, you know, people are used to Venmoing each other, at least in the US, where like say we go out and we buy a beer and Pete pays for it. Which would never happen because Pete's super cheap. But say in this pretend world, Pete buys us a beer and then I'd be like, oh, well, I'll pay you back and I'll just Venmo you. And I would Venmo him. And that would never happen either because he would make me pay him some form of crypto, like wrapped secret Bitcoin through the wormhole and back. But anyway, you know, Venmo is for normies, right? It's easy to transact. Everybody uses it. It's got huge market penetration. So for Alice, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and I'm just going to never pay the bill. And just be like, oh yeah, I'll pay you back. Like you have Venmo or something. And I'll, you know, slyly throw in or something. And then I'll be like, oh, well, just download Alice, just get Alice. And then I'll just send them the UST. And then when they see that, you know, I paid them back the $20 for the beer or whatever it was, they'll see it hit their account. And right on the Alice home screen, it's wrapped in AUST immediately. And you see the daily interest rate, the monthly interest rate, and the yearly interest rate on the amount that you're holding in that wallet. And there's on-ramping, there's off-ramping. I am very excited for Alice. I think it's going to be a huge game changer for the normies. And you do have to take a bit of a different approach. We are reaching like pretty decent market penetration right now for crypto heads and people that are seriously into this, right? I mean, if Seffy's getting 2,500 people to listen to him talk about the price of Luna right now, that's big. But we still haven't reached that. Like we haven't crossed the Rubicon, for lack of a better term, where like all of a sudden, you know, my grandma or my mom is like, hey, can you Alice me, you know, $10 to pay for whatever? So I think, you know, it's going to happen slowly but surely. We'll see. And
My first coworker. This is the first time that I've heard someone ask me about Luna. Someone that I haven't talked to, like they just know that I'm interested in crypto, and they asked me, hey, are you familiar with like UST and Luna? And when he asked me that, I was taken aback. I was like, oh God, it's happening. Like, I'm running out of time. Like, oh no.
If he found out, it's happening.
Yeah, I know. I was actually kind of really taken aback by it. But no, I fully do agree that we haven't reached that layer where it's like synonymous to say like, yeah, I'll get you. I'll send you it on Venmo. Like we haven't reached that point. And I think we're getting dangerously close to that. And it's super exciting to see.
It's funny, like Venmo has become a verb, like just Venmo me $10.
Yeah.
Like that's a verb now. And
so it's PayPal, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we will get to a point though where Alice, I'll say just Alice me that. And why would you not have money in Alice if you have money in Venmo? Like your money in Venmo is sitting there. And who knows? Like, you don't have ownership of whatever. Everybody knows. Preaching to the choir. All right. Last question of the week. Hopefully you guys prepared this week, because last week I was very disappointed in your answers. What are you excited for this week? I'll go last. I'll put the pressure on myself. Joseph, what are you excited for this week?
Vertex. I'm excited for Vertex. I want to see what people can really come up with. I mean, I kind of want to see the day where we're longing and we're shorting at so many things at once. I want to be able to start kind of seeing these complex mechanisms really kind of start to flesh out. Super excited for Vertex. I'm actually going to, as soon as I'm off this live stream, I'm going to go play with the testnet. I'm going to go see what's going on over there. So yeah, that's my exciting thing for the week. I hope I didn't disappoint you.
No, that was awesome. Pete, what are you excited for this week?
I guess I'm not allowed to say the Deviance Alpha, but you know, Mighty Whale is coming in excited about the Deviance Alpha, which we showed earlier in the stream, Bravy. If you want to, check back, we live demoed it. But anyway, I'm super excited actually about this Spaces. I want to ask, or at least hear questions asked about Bitcoin and how this is all going to work together in the ecosystem, and you know, previous DeFi experience and Do Kwon and Knopf going on Spaces tomorrow, March 1st at. What is it, like 9 a.m. here in Eastern Standard Time, something like that. Can't wait to be there.
Sorry, I'm laughing about Satoshi Slag says, Satoshi's lag says, I'm excited for bears being salty. Yeah, I'm excited for that too, honestly.
It's already happening.
Yeah, you don't have to be excited. It's happening now. All right.
Let's just talk about that for a little bit. We actually like de-risked our war chest and stuff last night, because like the Swift restrictions were going to kick in, and there's this peace talk uncertainty and a lot more other stuff going on, and like renewed commitments to war from Europe and who knows what. Like, usually that means adverse market events. And it turns out we maybe shouldn't have done that. I mean, we didn't sell Luna, right? But we just made sure it wasn't going to get liquidated and so on, right? But Luna then it hit its all-time high against Bitcoin today. And then everything rebounded. So insane. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, especially if the Russian Stock Exchange opens. I mean, those, as far I've heard, their bonds are rated zero now, not even like F minus, but zero. So something's going to happen at some point. But yeah, it is crazy to see. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, so Bitcoin's up 15% today. And that's really, I mean, what drove the whole market. But Luna's outperforming. I think Luna was up like 25% at one point. It's over $90, according to a CoinMarketCap quote right now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was like, you know, we've been busy, and you're like, you kind of check the price, and you see people getting crazy and like pinging you and stuff. And I was like, well, this is crazy. Maybe this is like, you know, the war gives an excuse to continue quantitative easing, however the hell you say it, QE. And so maybe this is like the whole market's rebounding. But then I went and checked like the regular equities markets, like, you know, the S&P 500 and stuff, and they barely moved. I think the S&P was actually down like 0.25% today, and crypto's up huge. So now, I mean, this is like maybe hopium and, you know, pie in the sky dream, but maybe this is people starting to realize like, hey, there's a major fracture coming down between like the global like reserve currency order of the West and the East. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, do you have to pick sides? Russia's launching a CBDC. China already has one active right now. So yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe people are starting to wake up.
There's definitely a potential for, I've been thinking about this a lot because I have friends in Ukraine and Russia, and I've lived in both countries. But like, there's definitely a potential for some situation. Like, for example, Russia gets sanctioned, shuts off its oil to Europe, and then later says, okay, we'll turn it back on, but you pay us in something else now, not in dollars. And like, we could see the end of petrodollar, the end of Swift hegemony, the end of all sorts of things here. And it's kind of like, no, I'm not saying this was the end game. I mean, maybe it would be if like, maybe it is somebody's end game, but you know, I'm not saying this is the end game here, but it's kind of like, Russia made the West do this when it's been their objective for a while to have it done. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that was the reason for all of this, but it might just be for them an interesting progress towards their vision of a world without dollar hegemony.
How would you feel if UST became their primary usage? I did see some people talking about it on Twitter that in these situations where you're trying to move from the current existing financial instruments, a decentralized form of money is attractive.
Why would they use UST when they like expressly want to not use the US dollar?
Yeah. I mean, now it's back on Bitcoin. They've been like heavily purchasing Bitcoin like in droves. I know that's been happening, so I can see kind of like where the speculation goes in that route.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, there's also another factor here, I think, is that you've noticed probably that whenever stocks really dive, Bitcoin goes with them temporarily, and then it rebounds after. That's often the pattern, which is the pattern we saw today, and we've seen it before. But the bears come out of the woodwork on that initial dive and they say, look, it is correlated. Bitcoin's not a hedge, you idiots. They just kind of don't notice that it rebounds against stocks it's convenient for them not to note that anyway. Just some notes.
The guy like the big gold chill that like hates Bitcoin.
Peter Schiff.
Peter Schiff had like 2 hours of glory last week and now he's just totally wrecked again.
Even if you go to his Twitter, he's just gonna come up with some absurd take where he's like, oh, this is just another classic take of it gonna go to zero, millions of people are gonna get hurt by it. I mean, not financial advice, but that guy is a dinosaur.
Yeah, I think he's actually in on the joke at this point. I think Peter Schiff is like he's just shilling his gold, but I think he's actually a Bitcoin bull. I think he's just like
a joke at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for today, unless you guys want to keep jamming here. Pete, what do you think?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining. We appreciate it. We will be back with you on Twitter Spaces on Saturday morning with the news from this upcoming week. And don't miss the Spaces tomorrow with Kanav from Jump Crypto, who led the round for this big Bitcoin purchase by the LFG Luna Foundation Guard. And of course, Do Kwon will be on there as well. Weren't they supposed to come on our show? What happened to that? Did we get rugged? Chris no Armani comment. Rugged us. We were supposed to have that interview on our show. And then Chris rugged us. So he's a big shot. He's too big for us. I see how it is, Chris. Whatever. It hurts
They've started a new account. I mean, I'm going to look, let's show ourselves the bigger men. Well, no, we're not the bigger men in any way, but like, let's show ourselves, let's show what's going on here. They started the ship show Spaces by Jump Crypto. It's got 50 followers, so it's unknown right now. The Internet Rob says this needs to be daily. Hey, we're working on something like that. We just hired Joseph full time, but he hasn't started full time yet. And so we're going to be working on more frequent, more focused content for you guys. But anyway, yeah, go if you want to join the ship show. That's exactly where the Spaces talk show tomorrow is going to be held.
Yeah, and also the name the ship show is hilarious. So yeah. Great name. Gotta love the sense of humor that Kanav and Doe and those guys always have. So we have Carlos Sepulveda in the comments. Joseph, do you know this guy?
That is my father. Yes, he has started a venture into cryptocurrencies. He is hearing that his crazy son is delving into this world full time now. So he wants to kind of figure out what's going on. And he's interested in Spanish content. He is a fluent native Spanish speaker from Chile. So I'm excited to kind of venture into that realm as well. And I do have something in store for you, Internet Rob. We're kind of toying with the idea of developing daily news reports, anything that something big breaks, anything of the sort. I will be on the spot ready to provide you those news. And I hope to one day be able to do it as well in Spanish. And I'm excited to just be able to take this full time because I have a lot of ideas and a lot of endeavors that I feel like the community really wants, a reliable source that consolidates all these points. So excited to see where that goes.
Joseph, I'm going to throw you into the deep end, trial by fire here. I want you to take us out. And do you know what our tagline is when we
end the show? I do not know.
Let me go for this one. So the tagline is discover Terra by discovering terabytes, but you got to kind of like just work it into the flow, right? So surprise everyone with it.
Okay.
Go for it.
No, I genuinely don't know what I'm saying. Like, that's the problem.
All right, guys, everybody like, listen, share, subscribe, rate, review, all the things, because you can make these evil tech platforms do your work for you and bring newbies into the space. If they're interested in fintech or Bitcoin or Russia or card games or whatever we've talked about, the algos will show the video to them if you like it enough. And Jang Hot Sauce, as always, Evan over there holding it up. Jang is a sponsor of the show. Why is a hot sauce a sponsor?
service show? Well, there is a crypto connection there that we've mentioned and we'll mention again in the future. Just trust us. Jiang Hot Sauce, it's amazing. Put it on anything. But anyway, share, subscribe, leave comments, all the stuff so that all these people you know and you don't know around the world can discover Terra and all the great projects attached to it by discovering Terabytes. We'll see you next time.
Drink it.